What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm Arab, man. When you have a guest from out of town, it's just everything he wants to say and talk about is right.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm a Jew on Yom Kippur interviewing an Arab, okay?
So, I think that's good. Well played.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests: NFL Network analyst Stephen Smith Sr., plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here from Los Angeles, California. And we could not be more excited to be here today on the Roku channel and to be able to be heard on this terrestrial radio station, on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network that we have cobbled together thanks to the help of Westwood One, which also puts out our podcast all 3 hours of this show every single day on the Cumulus Podcast Network. We could not be more excited to be heard on the Odyssey app or Sirius XM Radio, Sirius Channel 218, XM Channel 202, 992 on the app. We could not be more thrilled to be homing in on 470,000 subscribers on our YouTube page on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And then, of course, couldn't be more excited once again to be right here today on the Roku channel, which you can see for free on any Roku device, and you can see for free on any Samsung Smart TV or Amazon Fire TV. And then there's the Roku app. You can just get that app for free. The Roku channel is on it for free, and then you could see us on a desktop or a laptop at therokuchannel.com through the internet. The reason why I'm laying all that out for you is not only just because we're proud of it, but the fact that we have a heartbeat on this program today is very significant, because it was 8 years ago today that this show launched for the first time right here in El Segundo, California, back in the day for DirecTV, then AT&T, then Bleacher Report, BR Live for a hot minute, and then YouTube, just us and chickens, and then for a couple years on Peacock, and now here on Roku. 8 years ago today, we had no earthly idea what the hell we were doing, but we did it anyway, and we're 8 years old.
Woo!
We're fully adolescent, even though we're really children at heart. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. Happy anniversary to you, brother.
Same to you, man.
You were back there in the podcast days, and good to see you. Happy anniversary, Mike Del Tufo, DJ Mikey D, as in D's Nuts, our audio executive.
Yes.
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, light that candle, man. It's 8 years. It's our birthday today.
Happy anniversary, fellas. You know, 9 years ago today, I was sitting approximately where Brockman is, because this studio used to be a cafe.
I know.
And I used to come as an employee. I used to come in here and have lunch. So I've seen this whole thing evolve, man, and it's amazing. Congratulations.
I got to right back at you, and I got to call Chris Long today, make a mental note of that. The major domo of Audience Network, a spectacular network that birthed many shows that, by the way, still live today on various streamers. At any rate, we're thrilled to be here today.
Shout out Chris Long.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial for you to call in. That number's been our number for 8 years. And so we're here, and Steve Smith Sr. is about to join us on this program in studio in person, just to come on out of the box. We all iced up waiting for him. He is going to be here, and he's part of game day kickoff on NFL Network that leads off tonight, the Colts Broncos. Hey, so many of you out there might be like 1-2-1 versus 2-2. You know what? You could say that, Chris, but tell that to the two coaches. One of whom, whose seat is suddenly getting hotter, and Frank Reich, even though, you know, you might not think so, but Jim Irsay is one of those guys that does give his people time, but sometimes the clock strikes midnight out of nowhere. And I don't know if he would be so impetuous to make a maneuver in the middle of the season. But 1-3-1? 1-3-1 is not what the Colts expected once they dispatched Carson Wentz elsewhere. Did not let the door kick him in the you-know-what on the way out to Washington, D.C. And then they get Matt Ryan. Remember that? Everyone's like, who are they going to get? Was it going to be Baker Mayfield? Could they get him? And they said, no, we're going to go much older and we're going to go much more mature. We're going to go with a CEO quarterback instead of the progressive kid. We're going to go CEO. We're going to get Matt Ryan, and we're going to get him out of Atlanta. We're going to put him behind the best offensive line he's ever been behind. And the offensive line has been nothing but trouble for this team. And tonight, they go into Denver without Jonathan Taylor. This is a kid who didn't miss a practice his entire life. I'm assuming he didn't miss a practice in Pop Warner, but high school, University of Wisconsin, and Indianapolis never missed a practice. Now he's going to miss a game. And the overall first overall pick of fantasy drafts coast to coast.
Absolutely.
He has been a non-factor. He has been a virtual non-factor as well in your fantasy leagues. And the Colts are on a short week, licking their wounds after the Tennessee Titans just came in and did the tighten up thing to them with Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill is now beating back the Barbarians at his gates. He's 2-2. And the Tennessee Titans are sitting atop that division with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who've already beaten the Colts. Shut them out. Tennessee is at Washington this week. They're going to say, hey, Carson Wentz, you're not on the Colts anymore, but guess what? You still see us. I mean, 1-3-1 with the Titans at 3-2, and Jacksonville's at home against Houston, which is yet to win. They could be 1-3-1 looking up at 2-3-2 teams who have already beaten them. Nyheim Hines is taking over the top spot at running back, and that offensive line.
Hit him with the Hines.
Yeah. That offensive line better get it together tonight, at least for their benefit. Randy Gregory is not going to be on the field this evening, and he's part of a banged-up Broncos team that has lost Javonte Williams for the season. Latavius Murray was in London wearing a Saints uniform, scoring a touchdown against the Vikings on Sunday. Tonight, he's wearing a Broncos uniform because as soon as Murray was done with that game, I guess he went back on the practice squad for the Saints, and the minute that happened, the Broncos signed him.
We'll take that.
That is so wild.
Think about it. Tonight, you're going to see a running back in orange for the Denver Broncos, who 4 days ago had a fleur-de-lis on the side of his helmet for a Saints team in London that was ready to win if not for a double doink.
Doink.
Scoring a touchdown in that game.
Field goal. They were ready to show the Brits what overtime looked like in a crazy-ass football game that included everything soup to nuts. Now Latavius Murray might be a crucial member of the Denver Broncos because Javonte Williams is out for the season and Melvin Gordon has got the top spot, and hope for his sake he stops fumbling.
Yeah.
He's got a fumble problem. Mike Boone, who got all of those reps and snaps while Javonte Williams was healthy former Viking. Now he's got a crucial aspect in an offense that has not had Russ cooking. And everybody thought Russ is going to do nothing but cook. And the Broncos are 2-2. And that's the way they walk into this house tonight, with Russ having a dinged up throwing shoulder. And we assume that got hurt in Las Vegas and not him lifting all of those Subway sandwiches. Let's ride.
Let's ride, Rich.
So
it's dangerous.
And this is a Broncos team.
I like danger.
That was supposed to just add Russ. That's it. That's the ingredient for the cooking. Just 100%, add Russ.
100%.
Because you got Jerry Jeudy and got Cortland Sutton and you got the rest of this offense that now a new head coach is coming in. And this new head coach was the Aaron Rodgers wunderkind, right? So you're going to bring a guy in who Aaron Rodgers loves so much, and now you're going to put Russ into that offense, and the rushing attack and the Russell attack together, along with Randy Gregory, added to a defense that does have a top-notch kid in Patrick Surtain II. That's supposed to add up to a Super Bowl run, which could potentially still materialize. But they're 2-2, and the coach Nathaniel Hackett needed to hire an old, you know, what old man Hosberg, right? and add him to the mix to say challenge, call timeout. No.
He didn't get it right either.
Decline the penalty, accept the penalty. Telling the new head coach, helping him out, how to administrate a game. And the coach pushed all the right buttons in week one inside the red zone, but everybody kept fumbling. And then when it came time to actually try to win the game in Seattle, the coach fumbled, saying, let's go for it on a field goal because you were on the 46-yard line. That's good enough for us, 64 yards. Let's try it, even though we're not in altitude. And then other games, they're on the 41-yard line instead of the 46-yard line, and they're punting. It's been nothing but head scratching in Denver over the first 4 weeks of this season. So these two teams facing each other to kick off the de facto second quarter of the NFL regular season, to me, is fascinating. Because a loser of this game is in a world of hurt. Now, you could say Denver isn't all that hurt. I mean, 2-3 isn't that bad. Well, how good did Kansas City look on Sunday night?
Pretty good.
That's correct. And you got a 3-1 team in second place in the AFC East. You got three teams at 2-2 in the AFC North. And you got the Chargers back at 2-2 as well, seemingly going to get healthy. At some point, Keenan Allen's going to get back on the field. I know Joey Bosa is on IR, but for a guy who had fractured rib cartilage, I mean, Justin Herbert looks pretty good.
He looks like Wolverine. It just healed.
It's unbelievable. Excellent analogy.
Thank you. Adamantium.
And the Chargers are going to Cleveland before a Monday nighter at home against Denver. Denver needs to win this game tonight at home against the Colts team that is banged up without Jonathan Taylor, their big toe, out with toe problems and more. Oh, yeah. They better win this game tonight. And the whole country's going to pull up a chair again and watch how the offense looks and how Nathaniel Hackett's running this offense and calling timeouts. And now here comes Al Michaels talking about coach 40 years in the business, sitting upstairs, no one's ever heard of, in the ear of their new head coach, telling them, hey, call timeout. Hey, throw the challenge flag. So, yeah, it would behoove the Broncos to win a home game on a short week at home against a 1-2-1 team and go hunt a Matt Ryan that is sitting back there like an iron deer on your front lawn, unable to hold on to the football because his offensive line is so terrific, he's unable to block. And the Colts better win this game, despite being on the road on a short week, because the Broncos are banged up, and you do have a much more steady staff and head coach and Frank Reich, who's been there and done that. And you do have a better offensive line if they can all friggin' block. And you do need it because you can't fall to 1-3-1. At least their one is against the Chiefs. Go figure that, man. But at least they did that. Yeah. I think this is a big game tonight. Between two teams, I chose the Colts to win the North. I mean, the South. The AFC South.
Same.
And a lot of people thought, okay, Broncos, let's ride. Because it's rest time. And if they go to 2-3 and the rest of the league then plays everything out this weekend, the Chargers win. Man, the Chiefs, and let's just say the Raiders shock the Chiefs. What if that happens? That would be helpful to the Broncos if they lose tonight, but they would then be in last place because the Raiders would be 2-3 with a tie break against them. They'd be looking up at three teams, assuming the Chargers win in Cleveland, which is a large assumption. I'm just laying it all out for I'm not here for the 1-2-1 against 2-2. Yeah.
I'm not saying all of that. Everything you said is obviously valid and true. I'm worried tonight is going to be 16-13 and like really unwatchable.
Well, I can't help you on that.
Yeah. That especially one, I when you have you Russell Wilson in fantasy.
Can't help you on that one.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of fascinating aspects to tonight's game. Steve Smith Sr. is here to talk about it, and then we're here to talk with you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial on our 8th anniversary. We've got a lot in store. This is a tradition that we have done almost every year, even though we found out, I guess, we didn't do it last year. I don't know how the hell we didn't.
I don't either, yeah.
But we've been doing this for years. The way too early, one quarter of the season in the books. Awards.
Love it.
That's a very large mouth with the one quarter season awards, one quarter post season awards.
Yeah, quarter post awards.
Quarter post awards.
Yeah. We like horse racing.
The MVP, coach, defensive player of the year, and comeback player of the year. Just four games in. Just cuz. And then we put it in the freezer and we take it out at the end of the season and see if we were right.
I love that.
See if it holds up.
There's no chance.
And then I've got a top five list with 4 weeks in. The top five burning questions for me that I'd like to see answered over the next 4 weeks of the season, taking us to the halfway point. Aaron Rodgers using his potential retirement now as inspiration for his young receivers. That's interesting.
What?
Mike McCarthy with some bulletin board material?
Uh-oh.
Why uh-oh?
From the media. Of course he's not giving it out. You know that guy won't do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, we got some of that. We got
I think they're going to win this week.
But. And Bailey Zappe news.
Oh, let's go. Can I get more credit for that, by the way? I haven't gotten any flowers this week from
you
guys.
What you do?
I do?
You know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you something in bronze and pottery because that's what you get for the 8th anniversary.
Thanks, my man. Seriously, I was the first one in the national media to call on Bailey Zappe.
National media, Chris Brockman, ladies
by the way,
and gentlemen.
That's a fact.
We don't know if Zolak didn't call out for him.
Anything.
You just said,
what,
let's talk about this.
Put a pin
in it. Let's put it in a
minute.
Ice up. Ice up. Ice up. Steve Smith Sr. is here.
We'll let Steve decide.
One of our favorites. Oh, no, we don't have to. We're not dragging him into our nonsense. We got enough runway after Steve says goodbye after hour one to hit all this. Happy anniversary to us, if you don't mind us saying. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Steve Smith Sr., folks, when we come back. Audible has everything you love listening to and more. It's the home of storytelling. There's no better place to find all the stories your imagination craves, like the hottest new releases of the year. Audiobooks, exclusive originals, and popular podcasts, including The Rich Eisen Show, they're all on Audible. Whatever you're in the mood for, Audible has an incredible selection of audio entertainment for you to choose from. Maybe you want to get the real story behind your favorite team's winning streak. Maybe you want to hear celebrities talk about their lives and careers. Or maybe you could use some pro hacks on how to better your business, better your relationships, or just get better sleep. And there's knockout performances from your A-list entertainers and comedians, too. The best part is you get to have it all because with Audible, there are thousands of included titles that you can listen to all you want, and more get added every single week. So, come to the home of storytelling and try it for free for 30 days. You can sign up right now at audible.com.
This episode is brought to you by TBS. It's October, and that means the MLB postseason is back on TBS. You can watch the biggest and brightest in the American League take the field and battle it out for a spot in the World Series. There will be crazy hits and clutch performances, jaw-dropping action from the Division Series on October 11th, and, of course, you have to watch the crowning of the next American League champion. Catch the best of the MLB postseason all month long on TBS.
Steve Smith Sr. from NFL Network and so much more here on The Rich Eisen Show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about NFL's most interesting jobs, which is a show that you're hosting for the NFL's YouTube channel. That when you played, you said you would manipulate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so is that another word for saying manufacture? Is this sort of Jordan coming up with things that didn't really exist to get him all pissed off so he can go torch the opposition?
Well, first of all, me and Jordan in the same category, only way that is possible is because I live in North Carolina. let's go ahead and divide that right now.
I see what you're saying, but I think what I've just put out there is somewhat similar to your mindset of what you're... You're creating.
No, it's not necessarily true, because there are times, right, you know, with Sam Mills going in the Hall of Fame, great job for Sam Mills, well-deserved, the best Carolina Panther ever. I believe the first guy to represent an organization to go in there. You know, I remember I was having dinner with our former president, who was a good friend, Mark Richardson. And we were having dinner, probably about 6-7 months ago. We were having dinner. He was in town. And we were just all rehashing. It was a group of us. We were talking. And he had said something that kind of sparked the conversation. And he goes, man, not bad for a punt returner. And I just kind of, and I said, a punt returner? And he goes, he rolls his eyes. Oh, here we go. And the reason I'm using that as an example is, in college, I played wide receiver. Who happened to play punt return, and the reason I played punt return and I was capable of playing punt return is because my dad was a semi-pro. Growing up, 126 Avalon, right down Willowbrook / Magic Johnson Park, my dad was a semi-pro punter and a fullback. And by the age of 9 or 10 years old, I was catching punts. So in Pop Warner, high school, college, I had 10 plus years of expertise of catching punts. And I just did it because I wanted to be around my pop. And so me being a punt returner was the added part. I played wide receiver. I was a wide receiver. Now, scouts didn't want to say that I was maybe a wide receiver that was undersized at a non-respectable school at the time, which is the University of Utah. Because if you go back in 2001... there was another wide receiver who was the same height as me who happened to play at a school that started with a U called the University of Miami, whose name was Santana Moss, he was the same height, and he was a first rounder, and no one ever said anything about his height. And so I mentioned all that to say I'm not manufacturing that it was taken away things or slighted. I was slighted. And to the point of where my former president of the team is still saying, we only drafted you as a punt returner, and I am the all-time receiver for the organization. And he still put me in the category of, well, we didn't really think you were going to be what you are today. So I'm not, like, holding on to it and manufacturing it. I'm just, it's not a chip. It's a, I was in a three-legged race, and I was three-legged, but all the other people had four legs. And I was expected to do the impossible. I've done it. And then now people are saying I'm manufacturing some of the things that people told me to my face. And so I'm just trying to, like, you know, I'm shaking it off and trying to be a duck and smiling and laughing and really enjoying just kind of doing some of the silly stuff that I get to do now. And one of those is to come back home to L.A. And be on a show that's well-respected by a guy that I've been watching talk about sports for my whole life of playing sports. Everybody wants to be on SportsCenter or be on this, be on that. And I've had the opportunity to be and integrate my life and our lives together and be on that stage. And it's just been, it's been pretty darn cool for a screw up from L.A.
Yeah, you get the last laugh, though, Steve. People say all that things about you. Like, you're laughing last now.
Yeah, I'm not laughing a little bit because I got to explain myself all the time. You know, I do give off the, and these are my words, not anybody else's words. I do give off the angry black guy face, you know. I do. So I'm working on it, smiling more.
Look at that smile right
there.
It's
actually pretty good. All the dental work I've had done, shit, I need to show that thing off. Brush my teeth this morning.
The manufacturing I was talking about, yeah. Steve, though, isn't what you just mentioned that you say facts. The facts of the matter is how you were born into this league and how you were perceived in this league and the perceptions that you had to break in this league and that you still need to break in your estimation about what people view of
I've also played into that as well.
No, and I understand that. Yeah. The manufacturing I'm talking about is just on a game day.
Oh, no, it's real.
When you're across
the guy. It's not manufactured, it's real.
That every guy that you had a grudge against really was a legitimate grudge, you think?
Some guys were legitimate grudges. Some guys would try to. I've had several guys at times, and even as an analyst now, as a player, I had a guy one time, like he asked me a random question before it was like right at the snap of the ball. He was like, hey, man, by the end of the game, man, you think I can get your gloves? I said, my gloves? And that played into it because there was a run play coming our side, and I could have smashed him. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. Because he asked me for my gloves, and I didn't want to be a dirtbag. I was like, I can't go over there and knock the snot out of this guy. And he just asked me for my gloves. You're a real dirtbag if you do that. So he got me. I think I was going against
He got me.
Do you think he didn't really want your gloves, or he was just using
No, he really wanted my gloves. Okay. But I think it also, because he wanted my gloves, it kind of hit me in that soft spot, right, where I was like, oh, I can't. I
can't destroy this dude.
I can't destroy it. Right. I can't be a dirtbag, right? Antonio Cromartie, he was playing with the Jets. First play, he goes, how's the fam? I said, good. It just threw me off, right?
Well, you should ask the same thing about him.
No. Stop it. Stop. Stop it. He's a great dude.
You should ask him.
Stop
it.
Stop it. Stop being inappropriate. That's not very nice.
I'm just pointing out. You don't need to.
As media, we don't always have to. We don't always have to regurgitate all the information.
Don't reach for the low hanging fruit if it's just there. Is what you're saying?
Just move on.
Okay, so you were saying
best dad ever.
Well, that should be Antonio's sign.
Oh, stop it now. He's not wrong though. What else you were saying?
Not to my recollection.
No. So what did happen with Aqib Talib that day? The ice up. What led to the ice up, son? Come on now. Let's just do that, and then we'll move on. No, let's just do that, and then we'll move on.
We're moving on.
We are?
Yeah.
We're just moving on.
Yeah. I'm not going to, like, angrily look at you on the move on. I'm going to smile and look.
Look at him. Look at Steve Smith.
Because I would, back in the day, I would be like.
Still in there.
Yeah. Nah, but I'm like, man.
Okay.
Talib's a good dude, though. We've talked. When he was with Denver, and he was playing the Eagles, took my son Boston, took him down to see Torrey. I was doing a show out in Philly, so we watched the game. And actually,
Torrey Smith?
Yeah, Torrey Smith.
He's good people.
And he was, we saw him, and I actually have in my phone, I have a picture of my son Boston, and Talib took a picture. And so a lot of things that people associate or think that I'm, you know, just an angry black man walking around looking to fight everybody and all of that. I would say about 89% of that was pretty factual when I was playing. I did look for, like, I look for, you know, not to have a good day. You know, like some people wake up. You know, they say, some people wake up like, you know, I'm looking for it. I wake up looking for that, right? I had a buddy the other day text me, hey, good luck on the show. I said, good luck. I just woke up. Boy, I'm ready, right? And so now it's just like using that same energy to express it and show my admiration for all these guys that's playing. So when I come in, as, you know, in the locker rooms and stuff as analysts, I get them, they tiptoe a little bit, like, is he still angry, Steve? And then I'm like, what's up? And they're like, hey, it's the awkward, like.
Dude, you want to know if it's sunny or cloudy outside? Yeah, you know, we'll see what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and plus you're, you know, that line, what was that, the famous line that NFL Films picked up? If you see this face, what did you
say? Oh, that means I scored.
That means you scored.
That play, we were playing against the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And my family was in the stands, and they had a penalty. Somebody did something. It was a mm-hmm. penalty. Uh-huh. And I was saying words that my kids can read. My wife was, Angie was showing me. So shout out to Angie. She kind of pushes me a lot to, she's just like, baby, you know, you just got to be a better example for the kids. So shout out to Angie.
You know, your wife is spectacular.
She is. She deals with me.
I've met her many, many times. So where did like that line come from? Where did that line, you just came out of out of the dome? If you see this face, that means I've scored?
Yeah, and then I said it, so I had to redo it. So if you see this face, I'm kind of a, I don't know, I just sit around and think of stupid stuff. That's the part I'm really kind of silly. I really am.
That's great. More people should know that about you.
I'm glad I didn't show that earlier on, because now it's kind of helped me now and later in life.
There you go.
Well, also, Rich, Steve has quote. He's a quote machine, and there are websites just devoted to
are there really?
Some
there
of the great, websites? The best quotes of your life. I mean, some of these are incredible. Like the what lunch money. I look in the eyes of all my victims before I take their lunch money.
That's because I got my lunch money taken a few times when I was a kid, and I took a few people's lunch money. So that's more of a.
What else is on this site?
That film was a coaching session. They're going to be coaching that. I'm 35 years old, and I ran around them boys like they were schoolyard kids. That was one against the Panthers.
That was really mean of me to say.
Because
you got to think about it. Like, these are former teammates, and I just said that about them. And then, like, you know, and then a couple of weeks later in the bye week, I see them at the Whole Foods. So I'm like, what up, dog?
Another one, family members.
Listen, I got a lot. Like, if this was like a, I'm not Catholic, I'm Christian, but if this is like a,
it's a confession?
It's a confession right now. Wow. You know, another, Father, help me.
Another great one, family members get to see you play. Ex-girlfriends that wish they wouldn't have dumped you, they're questioning themselves right now. Like, that was after a game, a Monday night.
Yeah, I was dumped a lot when I was a kid. Had a bad attitude. Go figure, huh?
Oh my gosh.
This is turning into Poop on Steve session right here.
No,
I'm joking.
Come on.
Hey, trying to play victim, man.
This is because you're one of one, man. You're one of one.
Deuce Steve at the Smith house.
I know that.
He's pretty funny. He called me, I said something. He goes, stupid. That's what he did.
Stupid.
It's pretty fun. We like to have a lot of fun at the house.
Okay. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a break, come back, and then we'll talk about the current day in the NFL.
Mm.
And then we'll talk about your show as well. The most interesting jobs, NFL's most interesting jobs that you can see every Tuesday, 1 Eastern time on the NFL's YouTube channel with Steve Smith Sr. right here on the Rich Eisen Show on our 8th anniversary.
Ooh.
Yes, sir.
What'd you get me?
No, it's our anniversary.
You should have brought something for us.
It's our anniversary.
No, you give it to me.
We'll take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to 3 apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, Steve Smith Sr. is still here on the program. All right, let's get into it.
Yes.
The best team in the NFL through 4 weeks, in your estimation?
Has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Just remarkable what they're doing. Nick Sirianni, what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
he is, you can see his game plan varies each week, is based on his opponent. There are coaches out there that are doing things like you talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I love what Doug Peterson was doing. Mm-hmm. I did not like what Doug Peterson did last week, because as you watch on the football field, you watch that tape, it was not raining on half of the field. It was raining on both sides of the field. But yet you had one team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who adapted and ran plays that were successful, and you had another team that was trying to throw the ball, and it cost them. And I just love what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. Jalen Hurts is playing wonderful. Defense is playing lights out. The wide receivers are Slim Reaper, A.J. Brown, Miles Sanders. It's really becoming a team. When you talk about the NFC East, everybody wants to say it's the Cowboys to lose. It's really starting to become dominant. And the fact, when's the last time we've been able to ever talk about the NFC East and say the Philadelphia Eagles at the same time? It's been a long time.
It's been a while, even in their Super Bowl year. You remember they wore the dog masks because they were underdogs in every single game. I mean, even the year where they won it all, folks weren't thinking that they were for real. Did you refer to DeVonta Smith as the Slim Reaper?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Slim Reaper.
I haven't heard that one yet.
That was a nickname people were trying to throw on Kevin Durant, and he refused it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's available.
Slim Reaper.
I like Devon. I like him. He's really good. Everybody had all these questions about him.
Right, for his height and weight.
Well, his weight. And, hey, whatever. He could play.
Never his speed. The height and weight was always a question about him.
Hey, he could play.
So you like the Eagles? For some reason, I might be overreacting to this. The 49ers, the way that they played this past week, it was, for me, a reminder that they could be that team you don't want to face again. And it happened, even though they looked really inconsistent, horrible, is another way to put it, against Denver on that Sunday nighter. Against the Rams, they just looked world beaters. They did look that good to me.
Defense, offense, Jimmy Garoppolo is I think, dangling that carrot to get him out has made him actually push the ball down the field. He's notoriously not known for pushing a ball down the field. He's more of a system quarterback. There's nothing wrong with being a system quarterback. I'd rather have somebody that knows the system that actually doesn't know the system or is trying to figure out the system now, which what we're watching with the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson. He is a top-tier quarterback, but he's still trying to figure out this system. This system is completely different than the system he was in with Pete Carroll. This system I know very well. This system I was in with Baltimore, Gary Kubiak, quarterback coach, is Clint Kubiak. So that tells me, and knowing Nathaniel Hackett, that tells me that this system that they're in is exactly the system I know to a T. And this system is all about timing. And Russell Wilson is all about making plays without timing, off-schedule plays. This offense is not about off-schedule plays. This offense only moves with on-schedule plays. So getting to understand his style of play, Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, and this offense, this system. You also have Tim Patrick going down has really hurt them. Courtland Sutton is coming back 2 years removed from his knee injury. But Jerry Jeudy is just a guy. And when you have just a guy, and you have the guy, and then you have no guy at the number three position, it's really stressing this offense. And then they don't have a running game, and this offense is built on play-action run game because this style of offense is built on Kyle Shanahan. It used to be primarily with Sean McVay, but now they're primarily throwing the ball more, running second.
Just a guy.
Jerry Jeudy.
Jack,
I mean, it's nothing wrong with being just a guy, but he's not the guy. Mm-hmm. He's not better than Courtland Sutton statistically or how he's utilized in this offense. And that isn't a slight or I'm upset with them or saying that he can't play. I'm just saying he can play. Just not that the expectation that his draft status was.
And when you were talking about on-schedule, off-schedule plays about Russ and that offense, is that why at the end of that Sunday night game against San Francisco, when Russ started doing off-schedule stuff, the offense, we saw Russ throw it down the field in a way that we didn't see for the first three-plus quarters of that game?
Is it that simple? It's not that simple. It's a lot more complicated than two handsome guys sitting at the desk discussing. But unfortunately, the plays that are printed on the paper are all touchdowns, and they're all completions. It's the defensive coordinators and the defensive players and the Pro Bowlers and the potential Hall of Famers down on other teams who have their hand in and saying, hey, we don't want you to do what you want to do. That's scheduled on paper.
Steve Smith, senior here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you thinking of what we're seeing out of Miami? Because we're Bills Chiefs going into the season. Everyone's thinking we're going to see that again.
Yeah.
We saw what the Chiefs just looked like against the Bucks. The Bills, mm-hmm. despite, you know, the last 2 weeks, they're 3-1 with a very difficult quarter of the season now behind them on their schedule. What do you think of the Dolphins? Can they truly jump in there and join this party?
Well, you look at their defense. Their defense is crazy physical. They're playing lights out. I owe Tyreek Hill an apology. I've said some things that kind of really didn't think he was going to have the amount of success that he's having right now because of his speed allows him to do so many things that other guys just don't have to do. You know, I in the past, I would say he runs crayon routes, right? You see some of the stuff, and it's, you know, zigzag, and it's not traditional. Mm-hmm. But what Mike McDaniels has been able to do, hopefully Tua is able to have some clarity and understanding what his life will be outside of the concussion, and it's not about football, it's about about him and his family. But what Mike McDaniels was able to do, the one read look, Tua has struggled at times in college and in the pros of going beyond the second and third read. Tua also has never really done to date on film a two-minute drill. The last two-minute drill that he was close to doing was the Las Vegas Raiders, and they took him out and put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. It's not a slight. That's just something that when you look at someone's game and you analyze it, you go, what's missing? That part is missing about his game. Everything else, he's playing lights-out football. They're not even running the ball the way this offense is built for them to run the ball. So when they get that going – they're going to be still problematic. And then you see Teddy Bridgewater, hopefully, you know, two-glove Teddy will throw the ball down the field as well. So we'll see.
So Bills Chiefs still, you think it's still that conference? Or Lamar, despite what's at the end of games? What do you think?
I'm not sure, just because there's so much parity. And this is – it's so much parity. It's making fans – it's making us very – like you cannot turn away. It's making so attractive to watch. You have to watch it to the nth degree and talk about the 49ers. 49ers travel up down there to Carolina and play them. And, man, just got to help them. I hope it turns out well for us.
Yeah, this is maybe the worst opponent they could see right now. I mean,
right now, they got some other ones coming up, too.
I know. What do you think the Carolina Panthers should do?
Hold on. Hold on tight and pray. It's tough. Man, it's tough. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe firing Matt Rhule right now would be the answer. Because if you fire Matt Rhule, who's coming in here? Who's coming in Carolina right now with no draft picks and no quarterback? That's not an attractive position. We got to build this team up and fix some of the issues that we have. And firing Matt Rhule is not going to fix it. It's not going to change the season. We have to just play better and get the best out of our offense and utilize a lot of the pro bowlers and playmakers that we have on the team that we're not using right now.
Steve Smith, senior here on the Rich Eisen Show. Speaking of NFL jobs, NFL's most interesting jobs. You visit NFL teams to learn more about some of the most interesting jobs in the league. New episodes Tuesdays, 1 Eastern on the NFL YouTube channel. You're going deep. You're going deep into NFL buildings to talk to people.
It's been fun.
Who have you met?
I've met a ton of people. We've shot 5 episodes in the offseason. I was able to shout out to Charlie Yuck.
Mm-hmm.
King of Spring. I pitched him this show that what is it like about football? Like odd jobs. Let me be odd jobs guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so got the opportunity to work with Jonathan James, director of Unscripted Stuff. And so we sat down and me and him get in the lab and we text message and talk about what all does it take. And
so right here. You were in there with
the Minnesota Vikings. So I was a chef. Mm-hmm. I was a chef with the Minnesota Vikings and learned how they cook and all that stuff. And talked to my guy.
Guy Fieri on the FaceTime. Right.
They were Minnesota Vikings chef Paige. They had Mayor Flavortown over the grill. And I said, man, I know that guy. And they look, you know how when you say you know somebody, they look at me like, here, I'll say what she was saying. How do you know Guy Fieri? What do you and Guy Fieri have in common? I love to cook. I love to cook.
Okay.
My wife's a 10 times better cook, but I love to cook. And we watch Food Network. We watch Diner Drives.
Oh, and all, yes. So all my of that kids, stuff. The whole family. We
so
all we, do with
so
Guy.
I've known him for years and always, you know, I'm always pestering him and having fun. And we're at different events together. And so, he's at events. I happen to, you know, get a ticket. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, he knows Flavortown. Yeah, he's a diehard Raider fan too.
It's been fun, and so I did the Minnesota Vikings. I was the K-ball specialist for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Giants one, I did that back in during the season in June. There's other few teams that I've been to, and then we're working on some stuff. Maybe around the Super Bowl, did some stuff last year in the Super Bowl as well. So the next three or four episodes are going to be pretty fun.
Okay. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. So everybody check that out. Tuesdays, 1 Eastern on the NFL's YouTube channel. Who do you think wins tonight in the minute I have left with you here?
You got to go with the Denver Broncos. Their defense, even though they are there, Patrick Surtain II, never seen a second-year guy.
He's good.
Be able to play as well as he planned. He hasn't even scratched the surface. It's unbelievable, right? So you have him. Offense is going to sputter a little bit. They're just not going to, you know, especially for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Last year they were a quarterback away. Mm-hmm. Right now, a quarterback away from being a playoff team.
Yes.
They're an offensive away from being a good team. Mm. It is struggling. No running game. Their offensive line isn't actually as good as it used to be. Matt Ryan, he's been a nuisance to us in the Carolina Panthers for years down on that I-85 battle, Carolina versus the Falcons. So to get him out, hell, I wish he was back in there right now, because that would actually help us, because the way our defense is playing, lights out. Well, Matt Ryan is just – he doesn't look comfortable. He's not delivering the ball. Pressure that's getting to him off the spot. Offense, they can't run the ball. Just I like Frank Wright, and I'm actually concerned mm-hmm. for his job, because I think he's an unbelievable coach, great man, and I'm not sure what the heck happened from last year to this year.
It really is just a quick, amazing turnaround. Steve Smith Sr., thank you for coming on here, man. Anytime. Come back.
I'm sorry that all the years of me staring at you has contributed to your hair loss. I really am sorry.
I appreciate that.
I apologize for that.
I appreciate that, Steve. You're very kind to mention that. And
as a fellow ball head guy.
We're in ball brotherhood.
Look at, I just shaved it too. That thing is.
Dion left us on the battlefield. He left us on the battlefield.
Let me tell you something about
Prime. As he calls himself comeback player of the year, Prime.
Let me tell you about Prime.
Yes.
Every time I look at Prime for a split second, I go, should I? Nah.
I did
He's
that the
to
other
get
day.
Him to do
you
it.
Think about it?
He called in the other day for Restore.
Yeah.
Like on behalf. He was doing a tour for the people who put the lid back on his head.
I've thought about when he first did it, I was like, if Prime could do it,
I know.
I could do it.
Well, I mean, these guys put different hairdos on my head to make it seem like they put the less need on my head, right? Need,
the problem is where they get it from. I'm not good with that one.
You're not talking about the store. You're talking about parts of your body.
I just know what used to be there and where they have to recoup it from. I'm not sure it's going to grow back the same texture.
Right.
So I'm not willing to roll that dice.
Nah.
I'm not going to roll that dice.
This is the hand I was dealt.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's rock and roll. It's working out.
If you see this face, that means I've restored.
That's a pretty good one. I like that. Do I have to get the hair plugs to get the commercial?
Apparently it's not a plug. There it is. That's the less neat on my head.
Looks
Bro,
good.
You look handsome right there. You know what? No.
Do it.
Hey.
Do it, Rich.
Rich.
Oh, man. Thanks, Steve.
I like.
Dang.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.